Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
The Quilted Bananas program plays every Sunday, 10 to 11am, with news, views and music.
A collective of presenters, advertisers, community events and discusses news of interest to lesbians, queer women and non-binary folk.
We have interviews about past and future sports and cultural events, politics, films, art shows.
The program is sponsored through the generosity of the Rural Foundation.
And it plays every Sunday from 10 to 11am on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM.
Good morning, Atamarie, and thank you for joining us for today's Quilted Bananas program on Access Radio 106.1 FM. Quilted Bananas is the acronym for Queer, Intersex, Intersectional, Lesbian, Takatāpui, Trans, NB, Diverse, Bisexual, Ace and Nanas, because some of us in our group do identify as nanas. And we'd like to say a big thank you to the Rural Foundation for their grant, which has paid for our Access Radio time, allowing us to make our voices heard live and also via podcasts. And you can find more about the Rural Foundation by visiting ruralfoundation.nz. In the studio today, you've got Tangents with Sue and Fiona, and today we have a special guest, James Sargent from Wellington's Rainbow Community Choir, the Glamophones. Welcome, James.
Thank you very much. Kia ora tātou.
Morena, everyone.
Morena. We'll talk to James soon, but first up, let's have some music specially picked by James, which is Brave by Sarah Bareilles. How would you pronounce Sarah's name?
Bareilles.
Bareilles. Bareilles. There we go.
Yes.
And that was Brave by Sarah Bareilles. Bareilles, James? Yeah.
That's what I would
say. And so anyway, James, we know that you're the chair, but how long have you been involved with Glamophones?
I joined in July 2018. I'd heard about Glamophones before, but I'd been living out of New Zealand in Melbourne for a while and had a relationship breakup, and then came back and thought, let's start again in Wellington, and came to a concert called Colours that was in St Andrews, which had spectacular lighting and
it did,
and really effective, and I stayed behind for tea and cakes after the concert, and I've never seen such a friendly group of people. Maybe
they captured you.
They captured me straight away, so I joined straight after that, and I've been singing pretty much all the time ever since. Ooh. Middle of 2018.
Wow.
So, and I think this may have been one of the first songs I sang with the Glamophones, Brave, in one of those early concerts. And it really struck me. It's the first time I'd come across the song, and that just be brave, say what you want to say.
Yeah.
It was really moving.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes when we sing the songs, they're so different from the original solo artist. They've got a whole sound to them.
Yeah, they've got another layer of sound, and they've got another layer of meaning.
Everyone's got their own meaning they bring to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Fiona and I were just talking on the way in about you know, that exposure to new songs. But so I think I probably started as a groupie.
Oh, yes. Good.
And now I've reverted to it being a bit of a groupie rather than singing at the moment.
We love our groupies. We love our supporters.
Needy, definitely. Needy dogs.
Yeah. Because I think I started just in maybe 2018, I think, maybe. Yeah. But certainly we were just talking in the break how Les Ukes, the ukulele group, ended up coming as groupies to play backup for Shake It Off, I think, and that was at Massey University.
That was the end of 2018.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
In the sort of November, I think. Yeah, it was a great concert. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that means that I started in 2019 then. Mm. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. We've had a few backings. We've had the Hootinannies as well.
Yes.
Brass band. That's a big sound with us.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. Exactly.
And some instrumentalists that come in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in that time, we've had quite a few. So we've had a number of conductors, a number of events and concerts, and a bit of a pattern, a change in the pattern of those concerts. I think one of the interesting things about Glamophones, and those are sort of questions when certainly I first joined, is where do you have to be at with choir music to join Glamophones? Do you have to be a good musician and a good singer and come in with that sort of choir experience?
We do have a real mix. There are a lot of people who've come along who've been in choirs in the past, at school, at church, sometimes a long time ago in the past, and they're missing the singing and they come back. And some people are like, oh, I can't sing at all. But it's always worth trying. I think everyone can sing to some extent. I mean, there's a lot of people do use, I mean, we do have printed music, but there's different levels of ability with that, either reading the notes really carefully and some people making real expert musical comments about what the particular marking means and how we should do it. And other people just, a bit like me sometimes, you can tell whether it's going up or down on the print. Oh, and some people just, we have a team that produces sound files, soundtracks of each voice, so that you can just follow that, learn those tunes and sing along. Or at the worst, you can sing the tune. Then I think the main thing is don't sing in the silent bits. But some people can join it and enjoy it even if they haven't sung before.
I think it's quite unusual to have a group where you've got that huge range of sort of skill and ability. So we've got and have had singers who are extraordinarily good, you know, sort of like national choir level singers, and we've had people who are raw beginner music,
Definitely. I think the thing about being in a choir is it is a group. It's there's a real balance between you need to listen to the people around you and blend with them and not be like standing out, but also not being too quiet and just, you know, being confident in what you're singing.
And from memory, when people come along, if they're not sure what part they should kind of, what part of the choir, whether it's sopranos or altos or basses or tenors, then there's lots of help, isn't there, to kind of help people kind of know.
Yeah, people either start in one voice and see how they go, or they can talk to the musical director and have some time by the piano and, yeah, where their voice feels most naturally comfortable. Yeah. And we've had a few people change between terms or change between songs.
And quite big changes in some people who change as they transition.
We've had some trans members who have moved through various voice parts. and enjoyed the journey of being in the different parts of the choir.
Yeah.
I used to sing bass for a long time in earlier choirs and moved to the tenor as finding it more comfortable and a different style of singing.
Yeah.
And in the sopranos, I know that we've had people go from soprano one down to soprano two or vice versa, or move down to alto, or we've had people, in fact, I think for one song, Miss Chatelaine, I think we had an alto join us because they were in the sopranos because they were used to singing that soprano part, and then they would move back to the alto for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty relaxed.
So there's that sort of degree of flexibility and of people sort of helping each other leaving you to find your feet without.
But it's true. Some people join and they don't even know what is meant by which part are you singing.
True.
And they have to feel for where their voice wants to be in the piece.
Mm. Yeah, for me, I started and I was convinced I couldn't sing. And I was convinced I couldn't sing because my experience of singing in groups before had been at school. And the year I started at high school, all the younger classes sang the soprano part. And then as I got to the age where, you know, I might be rescued by an alto part, they decided that was unfair on the younger ones, so they could sing the alto and we could sing the soprano still. And I have to say, if you're a tenor, then trying to sing soprano does tend to be a bit of a disaster if you if you haven't had that sort of voice training. Although I'm fascinated by the number of our conductors who will happily sing the soprano part.
True. And I guess
you can find that you actually can sing. It's just that you've been trying to sing in the wrong register all along.
Yeah.
I mean, the hardest part for me sometimes in the tenor line is it's not the tune, but we're standing next to the sopranos, and it's very easy to be dragged into singing the main tune. And then when we sing the line properly, that's what it should. And then you get this much more richness, you know, with a four-part choir, or sometimes more if the voice is split in two. You get this incredible richness of choral singing where the lines are different, but they're all building up to some beautiful sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the altos probably don't have that because theirs is so different to start off with.
Such an important line in the piece, though. But
for tenors, you can be singing along with the sopranos, and then suddenly, you know, you've gone somewhere else, and you haven't done it.
But the Glamophones is quite big now, isn't it? How many?
We must be around 60. Not necessarily all turning up every time, but that's probably the regular number, and it's pretty evenly spread between the voices in terms of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Sopranos, altos, tenors, basses. And then we're really careful we don't like gender role any of the voices. There are people in all the parts.
Mm. Yeah, that's an interesting thing that they sort of have to sometimes train the conductors out of, you know, the men. It's like, let's just make that the basses and tenors.
Yeah.
Mm. And I guess that's the really neat thing about the Glamophones as well, is that you, although you can start at the beginning of the semester and there are two semesters per year, you can actually join during the year. That's right.
That's right, yeah. I mean, with Amrilac, we might be coming up to a concert, but you can still join and maybe sing the one or two that you want to sing. And it's probably worth remembering as well that it's part of the thing is coming together every week to sing, mm-hmm. as well as doing it for a concert. It's not just the journey is part of it as well as their final destination.
Yeah,
and being together.
That's right. And how do you kind of work out? We call them the Glamcom. Glamophones Committee. How does the repertoire kind of like each kind of concert make up? How does that get decided?
It's very iterative. We usually have the musical director and accompanist. The musical director is Michael Stebbings at the moment, and with the committee and a few other advisors, like have a theme, and then sometimes we ask the choir for ideas. And they can get a lot of ideas, and then you have to like try and make it into a program. I can't say even I'm the most expert at judging the right mix for a program. But, we then sign off, approve what is chosen, and then that becomes. And it's a bit of a process because you then have to obtain all the music, all the sheet music. And we've had a few times when it doesn't even exist, and we've had people to compose it into a choir format for us.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes people like a song, but it doesn't exist in a choir, in a choir form yet.
Because am I right in thinking that there were a few songs last year that were adapted for us? I'm just trying to think.
I mean, certainly this year we're doing, this term we're doing Imagine by the Beatles, and that's a choir arrangement that's quite unusual.
Right.
There are others that are we've had some adapted.
Miss Chatelaine, I think, was that.
Yeah,
did Brent
Brent Stewart did that one. Based on the K.D. Lang song.
And there might be one that Michael's done this year. This term, which I'd sort of heard one part of it, and then hearing the other parts on the practice track is that's quite clever. So looking forward to that one.
Should we have another piece of music? We're listening to songs today that James has chosen. The next one is I Am What I Am, Gloria Gaynor. Now, has the choir ever done this song, James?
I don't think we have. I think it would be a good one to try. I was thinking of this because I was at the Wellington Pride Festival fundraiser on Friday night for the Pride Festival, and they were showing the Birdcage film, which is a remake film version of La Cage aux Folles that was a musical of 1983. And the Gloria Gaynor version of I Am What I Am, which is like a central piece of the song, came out 1984. It was probably, for me, it's one of the first like anthem, pride, you can be different and be proud of it feelings that I remember hearing. So it still rings a bell.
It's certainly very much a queer anthem.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Well, here we go. Here's I Am What I Am from Gloria Gaynor.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook. Or the ovation, it's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, I am what I am. I think
And that was I Am What I Am from Gloria Gaynor. And that's a pick from James, who's here from the Glamophones today.
So that's our Glamophone song that we don't think we've done while any of us have been in Glamophones anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because thinking about it, the Glamophones have been on international tours as well. Is that right? So some people on the...
Yes, I've heard of... Group went to Dublin for the European LGBT Choral Festival in 2014, so that's a while ago now, and also to Sydney. There was a choral event as part of World Pride at that point in 2018, and we've been invited to Perth, Australia for the end of next year, and we're just trying to work out the logistics of that. There's quite a few people in the choir keen to go, but it's a big commitment to travel all that way, but we've still got time to plan it for November 2026.
Because just thinking about it, how, and sorry to put you on the spot, but how long has Glamophones been going now?
There was a male-only choir called the Homophones from 2007, and then when the Wellington Out Games was happening in 2011, they decided it needed to be expanded and larger, and also I think there were other reasons as well, but it became all gender choir, all voices choir called the Glamophones, and it changed its name. It's like the continuation organisation, but changed its name to the Glamophones in 2011, so that's like more than 15 years now.
That is part of that festival, or out of the game, part of the games, they did a joint...
Is there
a joint choir event, yeah, or a... Maybe more, and that was sort of...
And that was the sort of origin of it, the joint choir.
I think it was part of the origin of it, but you never know quite what's gone on in the background.
It was before my time. We had to do a little bit of thinking about that because we had to re-lodge our constitution. We're an incorporated society, and like so many, we had to put in a new constitution and, legally continue our registration.
But with the new rules?
With new rules, which was, there was a standard constitution that all the societies have to use, but that gave us a chance to rethink.
Mm-hmm. Just going to, jump in and maybe divert the stream a little bit. So as a choir now, that would have been a sort of probably a lesbian and gay kind of... mix at the time. Where's the choir at now with that?
I think it's definitely widening. I mean, like so many labels get more and more wider. I mean, we sometimes call ourselves Rainbow Choir because that tries to cover the full LGBTQI+ range, and we've certainly got a full range of experiences in the choir. I mean, I find it one of the best things that there are so many different stories and, ages and orientations and, journeys going on in the choir membership.
There's no, it's one of the nice things is there's no sort of, how do you qualify for this? You kind of qualify by showing up.
Yeah, it's definitely self-selecting, I think. But by being there, people are allies, people are... signing up to be part of the community.
And we have... I know in the Sopranos, I think we have some teens in the choir now, maybe, or early 20s, I think.
Yeah, we've got a full age range. I mean, we're genuinely thinking about what best way to serve the younger group, at the high school age, really, because it's might not be quite the right group. I mean, we're welcoming them now, but you could actually do something more focused on the high school age, singers, and give them somewhere to be together and safe.
Mm-hmm. I think the youth choir has done some really interesting programs too, haven't they, around Wellington? So it'll be you might.
I don't know whether the youth choir done anything specifically Rainbow. I'm not sure.
I think last year they did one with the memorial for. Well, what was his name, the young fellow that was killed in the States?
Matthew Shepherd.
Matthew Shepherd.
That's right. They did the performance of that choral oratorio, which was beautiful, in the Wellington Cathedral.
Wow.
With readings and so on about his life.
So, I'm not sure that that's something that another choir around Wellington would have done.
I think generally quite a lot of choirs are LGBT friendly.
They're friendly, and
anyway.
And if you took all the queers out, you'd have no choir.
And I guess that's one of the things, actually, that just prompts me to think about how one of the special things that, you know, that the choir does every year is the AIDS Memorial at in Mount Victoria as well, when we sing on that day, and also the Trans Day of Remembrance as well at St Andrews. And they're just such special events to go and sing at, I think, yeah.
Yeah, we're really pleased to be able to support those events and be part of them. Mm. I mean, just, yeah, we've done, and plus, I mean, the out in the city in Wellington, we've been to Hutt Pride. We missed it this year, but it'd be lovely to go again.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Whanganui Pride a few years ago and sang at a after party on that Pride event in Whanganui, which was, and joined their parade up and down the river, which was beautiful.
Mm. So what makes Glamophone special for you, James?
I do enjoy singing, but I've been in different choirs before that with a different, not the same level of community. I don't know, it's a friendly group, it's the varied group that we have, just those experiences of people that I wouldn't necessarily come across in my workspace. And just, I don't know, everyone's there together and welcoming of each other, acknowledging each other. And then people don't have to be like upfront, I don't know, deep about it, but the fact you're just there together. And we do get to know each other for real.
Yeah.
Some of our musical directors visiting have been surprised by the emphasis we put on the tea break in the middle of the rehearsal, but that's an important part of the social contact that we have.
And I think that relationship with the audience as well is, it's not uncommon in a big group that a lot of your audience is ex-members, but I think because it's one of the big identifiable queer events of over the year, those...
We have ex-members, we have family and friends.
Family, friends.
Coming along to the concerts, even those events
are
big events in the calendar.
But we talked a little bit before the show as well about how oftentimes in the choir you have people who know each other from other community groups or through work or whatever. There's lots of kind of weaving of connections, isn't there, in the choir? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are a few drew diagrams of the different groups that people were members of or that they find out about each other's groups and connect that way as well through the choir is... really, it's like a central point of of the Wellington and region. You know, we've got members going up the Carpety Coast, up the Hutt Valley, as well as I was thinking even Mike out to Palmerston North.
Mm-hmm.
Some widespread impact.
Mm, definitely. Shall we have another song now? I think we've got Go West from the Pet Shop Boys. Now, I know that the choir has done a version of Go West, but tell us a wee bit more about this song, James.
It's another anthem, really. It's another gay anthem, sort of, I think it's Hope Dreams, originally by the Village People in 1979, but the sort of 1993 Pet Shop Boys version was, I don't know, more soft, more sort of like celebratory in a way even. The video of that, look it up on YouTube, is absolutely fantastic because it has this sort of another text of sort of communist, ex-communist people that are becoming free at that point. It was just when the Soviet Union and those states were falling apart, so it's got that feel too. And we've sang it in the Glamophones, and we've sang it with the Auckland Gay and Lesbian Choir as well, the Gals.
Was this one of Brent's compositions?
Brent? He might have rearranged it, yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful song, very, very upbeat.
But not the Pet Shop Boys, they've got their own one.
Thank you.
And that was Go West by the Pet Shop Boys, another choice from James, who's chair of the Glamophones, the Wellington's community, Rainbow Community Choir. And you're listening to the Quarter Bananas show on Access Radio 106.1 FM. And we talked a little bit during the break about how the music that the Glamophones sing kind of influences our own musical tastes or kind of expands them. So, James, you were kind of riffed off that a little bit as well. You found the same thing, is that right?
I think I'm learning songs from the Glamophones that I hadn't even heard. Sometimes we're singing a song that's an arrangement and I've never heard it before. And then I learn it through the Glamophones and then look up the original song and sometimes prefer ours. But, yeah, I'm learning music from the Glamophones. Especially some of the more recent like gay anthem type songs. I think, although we're also talking about whether we're going to do even newer ones like Hot to Go
or Pink Pony Club.
Pink Pony Club.
Yeah.
That sort of song could be arranged for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've done other things as well. We had a concert a few years ago that was West Side Story. Highlights mm-hmm. and Chichester Psalms, which was pretty.
I loved both
pretty,
of those.
Very different for us.
Yeah.
I think we have to remember, you know, we are a choir that like to sing or experience different things. So singing those psalms in Hebrew was an interesting challenge. We've also sang Icelandic, Welsh, some tricky ones.
Yeah, it was interesting going to Long to see Orpheus doing Chichester Psalms a couple of weeks ago and thinking, actually, we did a pretty good job at that.
I know, it was a reach, but we did it.
Yeah.
We had lots of support. I remember our current accompanist, Stephen Clothier, joined the choir for that time, and we had Thomas, didn't we,
who was leading.
And Sam.
And Sam.
Sam was a bit of a under acknowledged, I thought, on the day, but Sam Buchan, who did a lot of the practice because Thomas had got sick at one stage and couldn't, so Thomas started us and I think finished us before the concert, but Sam carried a lot of that as well.
We've been very lucky. Yeah, there's a lot of warmth for the choir in the Wellington musical community. People are willing to come and help and accompany for us or conduct us as we need.
And I find too, like every new semester of the Glamophones, I find that there's one or two pieces that I think, oh, this is so hard, and then I end up just loving those pieces, and they're my favourite songs to sing throughout it. And in fact, I guess I even find actually I have on streaming, I have a playlist called Calm, and there's a couple of pieces on there that we've sung, and I. You know, if I'm flying somewhere or whatever, I'll just listen to those and they'll just calm me right down. And I think it's because singing, I guess, brings such a lot of, is such an emotional thing to do. Do you find the same thing, James?
When you
sing, how, you know, what does singing bring to you?
It's usually emotional. Some of the songs are making you feel, you know, part of the community or emotional or just the beauty of it. I mean, we've been sung a really difficult one called Shore on This Shining Light by Morten Lauridsen, which is really like classically choral. It's a relatively modern piece, but it's very classically choral and beautifully calm and has moments that are just like hauntingly beautiful.
Yes.
And that carries me away when it's working. Yeah.
I think it's quite interesting that you go along to something this and it's got a very, we've had a very eclectic mix of music styles and arrangements that we've done. And it's not uncommon for the list to come out and me to, oh, no, I hate that song. And then when you're sort of singing it, and actually when I'm going through and doing the sound files for it, you kind of get an appreciation of the construction of it and of it working together with a group, and that thing in music where we're working with a group and you get that point where the group is singing together and it is part of being a really tight togetherness. I think those are always just they can be quite overwhelming, actually. Yeah.
I was saying earlier, we enjoy every week that we're together rehearsing, but when we get towards the concert, there's always this extra 10% that comes from we are in front of our audience, we're in front of our family and friends, and we all step up that one more bit, and they come together, and you really feel that we're all concentrating and coming together in the music.
So it's a lovely lead-in, actually, James, to our concerts coming up. So do you want to tell us about those?
So we have two concerts. Well, the same concert coming up in November. We're going to be singing in the Memorial Hall on the Marine Parade on the front in Paikakariki on Sunday the 2nd of November at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then the following week in St. Andrews on the Terrace, Saturday 8th of November at 7 p.m., easiest way to find tickets of that is look at the Glamophones website. Search for Glamophones, and there's links from there, or you can search for Glamophones on TryBooking, and those tickets, both those places, will come up. We're doing a concert which is, again, interesting theme for us, because we started. It's called Echoes of War, Hope, Dreams of Peace, and it started off as an idea about, well, it's 80th anniversary of the Second World War. We thought, oh, well, that's worth marking. But it's really difficult, because it's not like there are still wars and conflicts going on around the world. You know, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, lots of places. It's not a peace. So it's definitely not a celebration, but it's not a memorial. We're trying to pick on the ones that are about hope, love, yearning. There's a lot of sort of we'll meet again type feel. Plus... dream, literally dreams of peace. We have Imagine Weather, Beatles, and that sort of feel. So we're trying to get a sense of hopefulness as well. There are some, I think, possibly some different songs to what we've normally sung, but it should be a really enjoyable range of music.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a Port Attero, the Maori farewell, I think, First World War song.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting because some wars have kicked up. You know, so First World War was notable for kicking up a lot of poetry and literature. Second World War, there was quite a musical contribution to setting the public's sort of participation and understanding. And some wars kick up a lot of music, and some wars. Not so much, but
we've got everything. We've got Vietnam in there,
it's sort of universally human costs and of these things.
And I think you'll hear a range, a big range of styles, sounds, volumes, and we're doing some of the songs, the whole choir, some of them just tenors and basses, some of them just altos and sopranos, and I think a few solos as well. So it'll be a really good range of concert,
And it's the ticket prices aren't going to hopefully break the bank, are they? What are they?
$15 for adults waged, and $10 for sort of concessions unwaged, and free for children under 14. So bring the family.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that in this playlist, I've added something that may or may not be in the concert as well. It's Jewel of the Fates. Is it from Star Wars?
It's from Star Wars, yeah. So that's a real interesting, it's sort of a slightly martial type music. But yeah, we've enjoyed singing this one.
And that was Jewel of the Fates from Star Wars. And we're here in the studio with James Sargent. James Sargent.
From
the Glamophones. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in today, James. We've really enjoyed, as we've kind of talked about, Sue and I have been part of the choir for a little bit, but it's been really interesting to kind of hear behind the scenes, I guess, and what your thoughts are on it over there in the tenors, for me anyway. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just one thing, other thing we were thinking of, the number of people who come at the end of a hard day at work at 6:30 when we start, yeah, and by the end of it are feeling actually better and energised and revived by the singing is so good for the spirit.
It is. Yeah. Coming straight out of work and, you know, then a couple of hours later after this, it has quite an effect.
Yeah, actually we didn't mention when the rehearsals are, but they are St Andrew's on the Terrace every Thursday during semesters. Semesters run from beginning of February-ish, end of January to June, and then normally kick off again at the end of July and go through to December.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
6:30 p.m.
If you want to check it out, just come along.
Yep. St Andrew's on the Terrace every Thursday night. And glamophones.org.nz. They're on Facebook as well and on Insta too if you want to check them out. Yeah. Very cool. So, yeah, there's apart from the choir being at Paikakariki Pride, there's other things going on where I think the Glamophones are tail end of the festival, but there's other things happening coming up pretty soon, and I'm putting Sue on the spot here.
Putting me on the spot. So I carefully and organisedly went through and found, you know, checked on what was happening, and then I left it on my printer at home. Paikakariki Pride, the main body of it runs over Labour weekend, so there are a lot of events on at that over that period, and I recommend going and having a look at their Facebook page, which mm-hmm. I'm just trying to type out.
I think there's the usual shortest parade in the world, I think, isn't there?
Something that's always like that. A winner.
Yep, and there's a gala as well, and a comedy night, I think you said, this Friday. So
yes, I believe there's a comedy night, and that's got ex-Glamophone Jack Lynch as one of the performers at that. So
right, excellent.
We've got a note that, you know, there's a bit of a depth of ex-Glamophones and current Glamophones involved with the Paikakariki Pride event, which is an award winner for the community awards as well.
Mm-hmm. And today at Wellington Museum there are other things coming up in terms of, I think there's the notorious Lulu event coming up today at Wellington Museum.
Yes, which is, I believe, an assembly of people's knits of
houses.
Of houses, and I think they were probably about 100 millimetre by 100 millimetre. So they're inviting people to go along and you don't need to bring anything, that there's yep. knitting stuff there.
And there are people who will help you do crochet and knitting, I think, as well.
From beginners to experts, everyone's welcome to go down and see what's happening there. That's a Wellington Museum event, so you'll find that on Wellington Museum's page and again on Facebook with the Notorious Lulu. Notorious. And Wellington Museum has a series of events that are about Wellington heritage that covers actually a whole, you know, from Kapiti to over to Wairarapa, Hutt and Wellington. And there are a number of rainbow events. There's a walk for Mum. Name has just fallen out of
with Will Hanson.
Georgina Beyer, there's a walk, but that's sold out.
Uh-huh.
There's an event with Will Henson on stories from, which I think includes around the Evergreen.
That's right, yeah.
Which I think...
And tours are running on the last Saturday of every month, I think, as well, a guided tour. Mm.
And it's always really good to hear Will's stories, because he's got such a good, such a strong collection, and they're quite meaningful.
Definitely.
Events. If we've got a couple of minutes, go and have a look up the Media Council's support of the decision on the Radio New Zealand article that about a young trans man called Alex who was not dealt with in a way that was fair and balanced, and recognised that there are other points of view, and that finding was put out fairly recently, I think.
In the last week, I think it was,
last week or two, by the Media Council on that. There'd been 17 complaints, and that was the grounds on which they'd found for the complainants there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're interested in being part of an advisory committee for council, there is in the Takatāpui Rainbow Communities kind of area, they are looking for people at the moment, and you can apply. Just go to the wellington.gov.nz, and I saw that the applications came out on the 2nd of October and they're due in by the 16th of October. So yeah, it's not a paid position, but it is a very worthwhile thing to be involved in. And yeah, certainly with Wellington's recent adoption of a rainbow policy, I think the first in the world, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I'm wanting to think. We will put links to all of these things on our show page at Quilted Bananas Radio. So we're coming up to the end of the hour, so we just want to say a huge thank you to James for coming on the radio show today and telling us more about the Glamophones, and it's Sue and Fiona from Tangents, and next week it'll be a pick and mix because we're having a swap around, so we'll look forward to telling you who's on next week.
Who's on next week, yeah.
Yeah, once we've decided. Yeah. And enjoy the rest of your...
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.